The home of common sense. Talk radio and talk TV.
Welcome back to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk TV. Some people are saying to me this is a bit like Groundhog Day. We're having these conversations again about this disease coming from China. We're wondering what should be done about the people coming from China. I've got this from Mutley. When will the government act quickly to protect its citizens? They must insist on pre-boarding checks for any passengers flying from China to the UK before our numbers increase for COVID here. I'm suspicious that importing COVID worldwide is another opportunity for China to make huge sums of money from selling PPE to the world again. Well, I mean, there is an awful lot of deja vu going on here, isn't there? Because I seem to remember way back in sort of March, February, January of 2020, having conversations. I remember we got a call once from a guy who was listening to us in Wuhan, a place I'd never heard of until that moment. And he was a British computer analyst who was working out in Wuhan. And suddenly here was this city that we'd never heard anything about. 13 million people living in it, bigger than London. Lots of British people working there. He worked there, as a computer analyst of one kind or another, a software engineer or something. But he also ran a sort of a DJ disco scenario as well for English expats who were working there. But we didn't really know what we were dealing with then. But now we do. Surely the government should be coming out and making some kind of statement. I mean, after all, we don't want the return of old Chris Whitty, do we? And Jonathan Van Tam. But what we do want is Rishi Sunak perhaps addressing the issue so that people know what's going on. We seem to have a government now that doesn't believe in talking to the general public about anything. At all. 0344 499 1000. We're going to be talking to Jamie Jenkins coming up very shortly, our favourite statistician. We're also going to talk, though, later on about electric cars. And I'd love to hear from you as to what you know, because I've got this from Newsmonger, who says, on a coach holiday over Christmas, I stopped at motorway services and noticed a long lineup for EV chargers. Chatted to drivers and they all said, don't get an electric vehicle. The price of charging has trebled, charger shortage and lots not working. Complete and utter fiasco. Well, we're going to be talking about electric cars coming up in this hour as well, because apparently the sales of them are going down because people are working out. Actually, they're not all they're cracked up to be. And if you do have one, there's a pretty good chance you're paying through the nose for it now. And it's actually going to cost you more money to charge your electric car than it would be to put petrol in one. Absolutely inconceivably unbelievable is what I would say. But let's talk to Jamie Jenkins, social commentator and statistician, of course. Jamie, very good morning to you. Welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Mike. I suppose start with numbers. Been a good year for you and the Independent Republic.
It has. Our numbers have been going up, so I can't complain about that. So very kind of you to mention that. Here's one, though, for you. I don't know whether you know the answer to this. I'm sure you've been made aware of it, Mike, but what do you make of the £122 million the Welsh NHS can't find? Perhaps the ever-excellent Jamie Jenkins can shine some light on this mystery. Can you?
Yeah, I can actually, Mike. That's a health board in North Wales. So this was a big story, actually, earlier on in the week, covered up by the BBC and some of the Welsh media. And the basically, it's a fraud investigation going on. This is the Betsy Cadwaladr Health Board up in North Wales. It's been in special measures and kind of been run by the Welsh government themselves on and off for the last kind of 7 or 8 years. And apparently £122 million is unaccounted for in the books. And the BBC asked the auditors, where's the money gone? And the answer was, we don't know.
Blimey. So that's quite a lot of money to lose, that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I crunched some of the numbers. If you actually count all the numbers, all the nurses in Wales, and you take, say, their average salary, that 122 million quid would actually pretty much match an inflation pay rise. Right. When obviously they're all on strike at the moment because they're not getting an inflation pay rise because they can't afford it. Now, obviously, that's only a one-off 122 million. If you give a 10% pay rise, you've got to pay year after year. But absolutely shocking. And you talk about, you know, Welsh Labour is running the NHS and Keir Starmer might win the next general election. Whichever political party is running this, the beast of the NHS, Mike, it's not going to be any better.
No. I mean, that is the problem. The NHS in itself is just not working. And I don't think it matters who you put in charge of it. I mean, I had a call yesterday from a woman who works as a cleaner inside the NHS in Liverpool. She seemed to think the government ran it. I said, well, they don't, do they? The people who run the NHS are the ones that you should be blaming for running it into the ground. The reason why hospitals don't work, the reason why doctors' surgeries can't cope with the number of patients they've got, is purely and simply down to the people running the organisation, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and it's not, you call it the National Health Service. Well, you've got devolved nations running it, so it's not really national. It's four different kind of countries managing. And then you look at all of the different trusts that you have, or health boards, it's basically, Mike, loads and loads of different health kind of systems across the country, all being run slightly differently. And what we end up with them, Mike, since you've got so many different ones across the country, you see the adverts for kind of like diversity managers. Every health board needs to have one. You don't need just one. Everybody needs to have one. And it just adds up, costs an absolute fortune, absolute madness. And the you know, Mike, we've come out of the end of 2022 and go into 2023. You know, the health system is completely broken. It's why we've been seeing excess deaths for the last 30 or so weeks. You know, the ambulance service, all the strikes are kicking in as well. You know, the system couldn't cope before the strikes, and it can't cope now. And I'll be talking to you next year at some point, Mike, saying how broken the NHS is even more.
Yes.
We've got to fix this, Mike.
Well, this is right. I mean, because a lot of people now are starting to get quite concerned, because if there is, as it turns out, another wave of COVID coming, which I hope, one, that there isn't, and two, if there is, the government doesn't panic and doesn't do what it did last time around. But if the NHS is put under any more pressure, I mean, I just don't think it could cope with it.
No, it's kind of struggling a bit at the moment. We have got record number of flu cases compared to, say, pre-pandemic at the moment. We've got
during the pandemic, we didn't have any flu cases at all.
Well, it kind of vanished, didn't it? That was one
amazing.
One of the good things, people always talk about conspiracy theorists, always say, you know, did COVID replace the flu? Well, we've got a bit of both at the moment. But just on the thing you've been talking about in the last hour and at the start of the show here, think of Australia, Mike, talking about China now and the COVID. Think of Australia. They had some of the most stringent border checks that you could get. You know, Djokovic is allowed in now. Yeah. He couldn't be allowed in last year. And this time last year, even despite all the testing, the fact very few people could go in, the Omicron variant still got into China. So I think even if we try to test everybody coming in from China, it's not going to stop it. And the Australian chief medical officer, so your Chris Whitty equivalent, is saying that Australia's got no plans to start testing everybody at the border because there's a lot of high community kind of immunity at the moment. So, but what China is, Mike, if you just want to finish on that one, it's a good example of where these lockdowns were complete nonsense, because they've had lockdowns for 3 years, proper zero COVID policy. Jeremy Hunt during the pandemic was saying this is the approach we should go for. And all I said, Mike, we've talked about this the last few years. All it's like is pausing the kind of the video recorder or the TV show. As soon as you open up again, it all explodes. And what we've got in China now? Carnage.
Yeah, exactly right. And New Zealand's an even better example, actually, than Australia is, because New Zealand had a complete lockdown where nobody could go in, nobody could leave, and they still didn't have zero COVID, because it's an impossibility. You just can't reach that.
And they've got the Omicron variant as well, Mike. You know, we can have all these restrictions going on across the world. The one good thing about this year is we got to that point during the summer. Now, we were going into it. We're at the start of the year. I think the graph on the kind of the TV now, and if you listen on the radio, kind of plots what Sage was saying this time last year. And the black line in the middle going up is they were telling Boris, if you don't have more restrictions last Christmas, we're going to see all these deaths, and they're going to peak around them kind of towards the end of January. And the reality was the kind of the red line at the bottom, which is flat if you can't see the actual graph. And the deaths were 93% lower than what the Sage modelers were going. So we're already erring now, Mike. Aren't we experts saying test at the borders? That's what the government were criticised for at the time, because we didn't do it back in 2020. But the one thing you've just said, which is spot on, it's a totally different place now. A lot of the, you know, COVID's ripped through the kind of the population the last couple of years now. Lots more immunity across it. And that's kind of where we want to go to. 2022 was the year travel restrictions generally came to an end. You know, Spain were a bit late, where they only got rid of them around October time.
Yeah.
But the US, Mike, you still have to have two vaccines to go into the US if you're a non-US national. So there's still some outliers out there. But I'd be hoping as we go into 2023, rather than the panic about COVID and China, you know, remember this is the same variant that we've already had. We want to get on and continue to live without kind of this virus kind of limiting our daily lives.
Well, I think that's the point, isn't it? I mean, if we've learned anything from what happened in the last 2 years, it is not to restrict people's behaviour, not to restrict people's movement, and not to restrict people's ability to go about their normal lives, because that was what really cost the economy an absolute fortune, and what cost an awful lot of people their health.
And it's still going on now, Mike. You've been talking about London's pretty quiet. I know of civil service departments where the people running them have still said, we want you to work from home, only come in if necessary. And, you know, these are the people running these civil service departments are saying these things.
Yeah.
So, you know, people are still living in what we were 2 years ago. And that does have a huge impact on the economy. And people like need to see each other as well. It's all very well working from home every now and again, but you've got to go and see some people. And if some of the public sector is still saying work from home, that's kind of the norm. Well, these local businesses, no wonder they're struggling, Mike.
Well, I mean, I don't see any evidence whatsoever when I leave London to go to other parts of the country. I don't see any evidence that, say, smaller villages and towns are doing better economically because people are working from home. Because you don't, they, you know, if you're working from home and you live, I don't know, somewhere in Kent, you're not going to get in the car and drive down the road to go to a sandwich shop, are you? You're going to make your own sandwich and you're going to have your lunch and you're going to sit at home and you're never going to go anywhere. And that is going to damage, in the end, not just the local economy, but the national economy. And there's amazing numbers of people on Twitter, and I know it's not a very good guide to actually real life, who are absolutely obsessed with it. And whenever I say I think people in this country are a bit lazy, which is what I said yesterday, people don't want to work, one of the reasons why everything doesn't work is because people aren't at work. It's as simple as that. It's a very simple equation, but nobody wants to make the connection that it's actually because nobody's in an office that nothing's working.
Well, I you know, it's anecdotal stuff, Mike, but you hear stories that when people are working from home, because their boss can't see them, you know, they're doing other things.
Of course they are.
They pop up on a Teams call or a Zoom call with your colleagues once a day or something. It looks like you're there. That's a problem. But that kind of links into this other story that's going on at the moment. Like these 15-minute neighbourhoods, you know, Oxford, Bath, where they want to kind of keep you within 15 minutes. Well, basically, I was looking at this story because I think residents in Bath are in uproar because of this. And it's all linked to making sure that everything's within 15 minutes of where you are. So they're going to limit all the traffic and basically make it more cycle friendly, which obviously London's kind of freaking carnage with cyclists. But one of the things I was reading the Oxford report on this, Mike, and one of the things they say they're doing is to reduce air pollution for health reasons. Obviously a good tick, but this is by 2040. Now, by 2040, if the government gets its way, and you're talking about it today, I think, on the show of electric cars, well, why do you need to stop cars moving around if they're all electric cars by 2040?
Yeah, right.
Absolutely bonkers. And if you've got everything on your doorstep, obviously that's great, but the local shop's more expensive, so the poorest people are going to be affected by this most, Mike. And again, nobody generally, unless you all work from home, very few people live within 15 minutes of their work. So is the government and these local authorities trying to push us down more work from home in the future? Yeah. That's my big concern on this.
Well, exactly. Also, who gave them the impression that anybody wanted any of this? Because they haven't asked us, have they? I don't know if people in Bath were asked or if people in Oxford were asked. I don't believe so. I don't think anyone was asked in London what they thought about expanding ULEZ when the first congestion charge came in. And then when they did ask them, they said they didn't want it. They did it anyway.
And that's the big issue, Mark. I put a tweet out about this the other day, and I was saying that the only way you're going to stop this if people don't want it, it comes back to democracy, isn't it? You vote basically the parties out. If the local councillors have voted out. My big concern, though, Mike, is it seems to be the Tory party, the Labour party, the Lib Dems, obviously all those with the biggest money, and the Green Party in terms of canvassing and local elections as well. They all want the same thing. You know, this is all net zero. And that's why the energy prices this year are going through the roof. It's because of this obsession with trying to kind of get rid of all of the kind of the fossil fuels. Mm. And that's kind of where we've ended up in this place. And say, who's asking for it? I've never seen any manifesto saying, I know they always got net zero in there, but local areas saying, basically, we want to lock you in your areas or have 15-minute zones. I haven't seen any like nonsense.
No, you're absolutely right. And whenever you see anybody talking on the TV or on the radio from the national grid, they always talk about how, oh, yes, well, we've had to warm up some coal-fired power stations because we might not have enough renewable energy coming through the system. But, of course, our main aim is to get rid of all that and to just get more renewables. And you go, well, yeah, but you've already explained why that doesn't work. So why would you want to continue to do more of it?
Well, 2022, Mike, for me, will be remembered as the year of the great energy robbery, because we spend $40 billion as a country on all our energy. So that's government, households, businesses in 2019. Now that's $190 billion this year. So it's $150 billion literally sucked out of the economy.
Right.
Most of it's going abroad as well. Mm. So that's not going to be good for economic growth in this country. And what it's done, Mike, is it's made energy unaffordable for many people. So the government have had to step in and kind of help people out. And a big part of it is because of the getting rid of all of the coal over the last 40 years, relying on importing gas. One of the big winners, actually, of the last year on this is the USA, because they're exporting more gas kind of linking into where some of the gas is and all the restrictions perhaps on China there. But remember, 3/4 of the gas price increase that we're paying at the moment happened before the Ukraine war. And that, for me, is going to be the big thing. And the big expansion going in towards renewables, well, it hasn't happened fast enough to replace what we haven't got. We did have this short-termism with Nick Clegg about a decade ago saying nuclear is not the option because we wouldn't get the actual energy till 2022. Imagine if we did go for nuclear 10 or 12 years ago. Now, Mike, Nick Clegg, living in the US, working for Facebook, he's not affected by all this. It's the poor people I'm concerned about again on that.
Exactly right. And I get asked a question a lot, Jamie, and you might be able to answer this one as well, about the wholesale price of fuel, you know, whether it's oil per barrel or whether it's natural gas, that the wholesale price has come down quite significantly from when it was at its highest sort of towards the end of maybe the summer because of the Ukraine war. And yet we're not seeing that reflected in prices domestically.
It's all to do with kind of the future price that people are going to. So you get these day-to-day fluctuations. To me, I struggle a bit with this one as well, Mike. It seems to be some dark art in terms of working out how these wholesale prices link into the gas prices when we actually pay. Remember, the cap that comes in comes from kind of Ofgem. They'll set the new cap coming in. And we know the government are already going to be taking off kind of some of the support. So bills are going to go up even further. But yeah, I think there needs to be more transparency in terms of how that has been affected. But one of the things they're looking to change, Mike, because the big windfall over the last year has been the renewable companies because they get paid for the energy depending on what the kind of the last unit of what goes into the system is produced. And a lot of that comes from gas. So people who've got these wind farms and solar farms, they're making an absolute fortune this year because that hasn't cost them any more to produce it generally. There might have been a little bit of inflation, but the amount of they're getting for that energy gone through the roof. So we it all comes back down to, Mike, 40 years of government failure. That's the Tory party, the Labour party, the Lib Dems within the coalition on energy security, and we've got to remember that.
I think it unfortunately is something we'll never forget, I'm afraid, Jamie. But listen, have a great new year. We'll see you in 2023. Jamie Jenkins, social commentator, statistician, with some very interesting numbers and analysis there as to what's been going on over the past 12 months. What can happen in the next 12? Almost anything, you might say. How about this? Hi, Mike. How stupid is Sunak, says John in Rugby. He's considering travel restrictions for people legally travelling to the UK, but no restrictions on those crossing the channel illegally, bringing who knows what with them. Sunak needs a taser up his backside to wake him up and smell the coffee. Well, that's probably slightly harsh, but yeah. I think Sunak certainly needs to get out front and centre and start telling us what the heck he's doing with our country. This is Talk TV.
On your mobile, on your wavelength, Talk Radio and Talk TV.